Inshallah, brothers are requested to come forward. Inshallah, the time from Asr to from the time from Maghrib to Isha is very short, so let's try to spend this time in the masjid and discuss some important matters with regards to Salah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala Rasulil Kareem, amma ba'd. So yesterday we were discussing some of the reasons and how to perform Salah. Today we will talk about, firstly we'll start off with the fara'id of Salah. Fard is that thing which has been established from Quran or from such a hadith that is of such a high level that has reached the level of what they call tawatur, meaning it has reached such a level where the possibility of that hadith being false is almost impossible, if not impossible. Such a thing is fard. And fard means that if a person denies a fard, then immediately that person will leave the fold of Islam. So the fara'id of Islam, the fara'id of Salah are six. Number one is takbir-e-tahrima. And takbir-e-tahrima does not mean raising the hands. Takbir-e-tahrima refers to saying Allahu Akbar. So we already discussed this yesterday. Then the second fard in Salah is qiyam, to stand in Salah. Now a lot of us will be thinking that we all perform this, none of us really neglect this. But the time where this can be neglected is again when we are late for Salah and we are trying to catch the rakat. Then what we usually do is we do Allahu Akbar and we go straight down. So sometimes our qiyam is not even established. We're not even standing up for that amount of time that can be regarded as qiyam. So that way it's very important that when we joining the salah, when we joining the missed rakats, say Allahu Akbar, stand there for a while and then go down into ruku and join the imam. So this is the second fard. The third one is qira'at, the recitation of the Quran. All of us, alhamdulillah, participate and recite the Quran. The third one is ruku. Ruku is fard in salah. The fifth one is sajda. For us to do sajda, as mentioned yesterday, the seven limbs must be touching the floor at all times throughout the whole sajda. The feet, the knees, the hands, the nose, and the forehead. They should be all should be attached to the ground and they shouldn't be off the ground. And the last is the last sitting, al-qa'datul akhira, which is the last sitting. All these are the six fara'id of salah. Without these, if one of these are missed, if someone neglects one of these, then immediately the salah is broken and a person has to repeat that salah again. The second thing that we're talking about today is the wajibat of salah. So the wajibat of salah means that if a person misses out a wajib, if a person delays a wajib, if a person repeats a wajib, then he will have to do sajdatu sahw. He will have to make up for it by doing sajdatu sahwa. If he doesn't do sajdatu sahwa, if he doesn't do sajdatu sahwa, then he will have to repeat this salah during that salah time. So for example, Maghrib salah is ending at 10:42 and we made a mistake in our Maghrib salah. So we have until 10:42 to repeat that salah. If you don't repeat that salah, then inshallah, indallah, in the court of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've ticked the box off that salah, that you've completed the salah, but there will be no reward. And it is also advisable that a person does tawbah and istighfar for committing such big errors in his salah. So this is why it's very important that the wajibat of salah are, first of all, we need to learn about it. So number one, the first wajib of salah that we discussed yesterday is to recite Suratul Fatiha in the first two rakats of any fard salah. So in Fajr, both rakats, you must recite Surah Fatiha. In Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, in the first two rakats of Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, Surah Fatiha is wajib. In Maghrib, the first two rakats again, Surah Fatiha is wajib. You must recite Surah Fatiha in the first two rakats. This is the wajib amount. The second wajib is that to recite the second wajib. So that was the first wajib. The second wajib is to recite Surah Fatiha in all the rakats of a non-fard salah. So the four sunnah mu'akkada, the three witr wajib, four sunnah ghair mu'akkada. In every rak'ah of a non-fard salah, you must recite Surah Fatiha. So if someone misses out the Surah Fatiha in his sunnah, in any rak'ah of his sunnah, he must do sajdatus sahwa, and we will come on to the method of sajdatus sahwa later on. The third one is to dhammu surah, is to attach or to read a surah after Suratul Fatiha. After Surah Fatiha, to read another surah. So, in the Fard Salah, after the first two rakats of after Surah Fatiha, in the first two rakats of any Fard Salah, to attach a surah with it. Ek surat ko milana Surah Fatiha ke saath wajib hai. Jaha Surah Fatiha wajib hai, to us ke saath surat milana bhi wajib hai. Wherever Surah Fatiha is wajib, then to read another surah with that Surah Fatiha is also wajib. And how much do you have to read? You don't have to read a whole surah. It's three short verses, as we mentioned, Kalla wal Qamar, wal Layli idh Adbar, wal Subhi idh Asfar. So these are the three short verses that qualify as three short verses. One long verse is anything that exceeds that there. So three short verses or one long verse, this is wajib for someone to recite. So if someone just says, Allahu Akbar, Surah Fatiha, Wal Asr, and he goes down into ruku, he's missed out the wajib. He's missed out the wajib because he hasn't read three short verses. So it is very important for us to recite three short verses. And over here, it's very important to know that the three short verses that you are reciting, all three short verses must be correct in terms of tajweed, in terms of makharij. Because if we are reading three short verses, but we are not reciting the verse correctly, then we have missed out the wajib again. So this is why it's important that our tajweed is up to the level where our salah is complete in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So join a surah to the Suratul Fatiha. The next, number four, the fourth wajib of salah is qawma. Qawma is after saying sami'a Allahu liman hamida, to stand. To stand for the amount of time where a person can easily say subhanallah three times, this is wajib. This is called qawma. And as mentioned yesterday, this is one of the most neglected positions amongst the ummah, amongst Muslims. People don't really stand still for that amount of time where they can read three subhanallahs. So it's very important that we stand for that amount of time. The next wajib, the fifth wajib, is qawm, is jalsa. Sitting between the two sajdas, same thing. Sit between the two sajdas for that amount of time wherein three subhanallahs can be read. Sit in jalsa for that amount of time. This is wajib in salah. These are wajibat of salah. And again, this is a very neglected position. So that's why as soon as you say subhana rabbiyal a'la for the third time, then say Allahu Akbar, sit for a while, and then go down. If you know the dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْلِي وَرَحَمْنِي وَعَافِنِي وَهْدِنِي وَرْزُقْنِي, read that. If you don't know that dua, then everyone knows رَبِّ اغْفِرْلِي. Read that three times. It will guarantee that your position, your jalsa is substantiated, your jalsa is established, and you won't need to worry about missing out a wajib of salah. The sixth wajib of salah is the first sitting. The first sitting is wajib in salah, wherein, and the first sitting, what is the duration of it? The amount of time it takes for you to recite the shahud. And this leads on to the seventh wajib. So first sitting, sit down in the first sitting and recite the whole attahiyyatu until ashadu an la ilaha, all the way till the end. This is also wajib in salah. So when tashahud is wajib in salah, our pronunciation of tashahud, attahiyyatu, needs to also be correct. So if we are not sure if our tashahud is correct, ask someone, can you listen to my tashahud? Am I reading it correctly? Attahiyyatu lillahi. Look, my dear brothers and sisters listening at home, whenever it comes to anything important in our life, when we go for an interview, sometimes we do a rehearsal. We stand in front of the mirror and we practice the interview before that. If I get asked this, then I'll answer like this. Or we ask someone, can you ask these questions to me so I can pass my interview, I can be successful in my interview. So now we are in a direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have that much concern that is what I am saying according to what Allah wants or not. So very important that practice it. Nothing to feel shy about. Nothing to feel shy about. That person does not acquire ilm who is mustakbir or mustahi. That person who is got arrogance. That why should I ask someone who's junior to me if my tashahud is correct? I've been reading salah longer than he was born. A person has that ego that why should I ask? Or a person's shy that if I ask, then sab kahenge ke to ye to bade haji sahab pooch rahe hain to unki namaz ka kya hal hai to haya ki wajah se koi poochta nahi uski wajah se mahroomi ho jati hai. Because of haya, because of feeling shy, people don't acquire true ilm, and when they don't acquire true knowledge, they make a lot of mistakes. So this is why test your tashahud. Is your tashahud correct? The next wajib of salah, number 8, we'll try to cover as much as we can, not all of them I'll cover. Number 8, it is to maintain the order of salah. So first is Allahu Akbar, then is qira', then is ruku', then is qawma', then is sajda', then jalsa', then first sitting. To maintain the order of salah is important, to such an extent that one shouldn't read a surah before surah Fatiha. He shouldn't start Allahu Akbar and Subhanakallahumma and start straight Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. First must be surah Fatiha, then must be a surah. The maintaining of an order is wajib in salah. If someone doesn't maintain the order in salah, then he has to do sajdatul sahw. He has to do that again. The next wajib of salah is with regards to a very important issue called ta'dilul arkan. That every posture remains motionless. Whatever posture you are doing, you must remain motionless. So in this, a lot of mistakes is for those people who rush their salah. When you read your salah too fast, then subconsciously you are not practicing upon ta'dilul arkan. So that's why when you're going down to ruku, Allahu Akbar, the whole body should remain motionless. It shouldn't be a reel that it's like a video playing and on fast forward as well. That Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana. We're saying everything and we're saying it correct maybe, but our body is not motionless. We're going from one position to another position to another position without any stops, without our body being motionless. As a result, we are missing a wajib, many wajibs. We are missing a lot of wajibs throughout our salah. So be still when reading salah. And by doing ta'dil al-arkan, it will add 2 more minutes onto your salah. That's all it will add. 1-2 more minutes. If your salah is, if you read 2 rakats in 2 minutes, your salah will be 3 minutes. Your salah will be 4 minutes. If you read 4 rakats in 4 minutes, your salah will just go to 6 minutes. But as a result, your salah will be accepted. And in the day of Qiyamah, you won't be that person who has to answer for his salah, that why didn't you read salah? So for 2 more minutes, don't ruin your salah. Read salah calmly, in a motionless manner, in a very still manner. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. One tafsir of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is like when you stand in front of Allah, meaning when you pray salah, then pray in a very still manner. Don't fidget. Don't move. Don't rush your salah. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. This is very important. تَعْدِيلُ الْأَرْكَانِ. The next wajib of salah is saying Allahu Akbar for du'a kunut. In the third rakat of the witr, when we say attahiyatu, ashadu an la ilaha, and we say Allahu Akbar, we recite Surah Fatiha, we read another surah. After reading another surah, to say Allahu Akbar, whether you raise your hands, raising the hands is sunnah, but saying Allahu Akbar is wajib. So to say Allahu Akbar for du'a kunut is wajib. Thereafter, to read a du'a for kunut is wajib. Any du'a. To recite any dua for qunut is wajib. The dua that we've all learned, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika. If a person reads this dua, this certain dua is sunnah. If a person reads any other dua, if someone says after reading inna shani'aka huwal abtar, Allahu akbar, and someone reads rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana, then his wajib is complete. But the Allahumma inna nasta'inuka, or the Allahumma hadina bi fadlika fi man hadayt wa afina fi man afayt, these du'as, especially the second one, is a sunnah du'a. So that's why a person who reads his own du'a, he's not acted upon the sunnah, but he's acted upon his own. But your wajib is complete. That's why when those who miss out the du'a kunut after inna shanika abdur Allahu akbar, and they miss out the du'a kunut, then they've missed out a wajib, two wajibs. As a result, they need to do one sajda sahwa. This is in brief, in overall, the wajibat of salah, of our day-to-day salah. Obviously, there is the six additional takbirs of Eid, etc. But we're just talking about the day-to-day salah. So these are the wajibat of salah. Very important that we know the wajibat of salah. Very quickly in Urdu, Surah Fatiha ka parna har farz namaz ki pehli do rakaton mein. اور سورہ فاتحہ کا پڑھنا ہر رکعت میں اور ہر اس نماز میں جو فرض نہیں ہے. لہذا وتر میں اور سنت موقعہ میں ہر رکعت میں سورہ فاتحہ پڑھنا واجب ہے. ضم سورت, سورت کو ملانا اس سورہ فاتحہ کے ساتھ جو واجب ہے یہ بھی واجب ہے. قومہ, جلسہ, پہلا بیٹھک یہ بھی واجب ہے. تشہد کا پڑھنا یہ بھی واجب ہے. اللہ اکبر کہنا دعائے قنوت کے لیے یہ بھی واجب ہے. ایک دعا پڑھنا قنوت کے لیے, دعائے قنوت پڑھنا یہ بھی واجب ہے. اور ترتیب کو باقی رکھنا یہ بھی واجب ہے. ترتیب کو باقی رکھنا کہ پہلے قیام, پھر رکوع, پھر سجدہ, پھر بیٹھنا, پھر سلام وغیرہ وغیرہ, یہ سب واجب ہے. ٹھیک ہے. اور تعدیل ارکان, آپ کا ہر پوسچر, آپ کا ہر رکن ایسا ہو کہ آپ کی باڈی, آپ کا بدن حرکت نہ کرے, یہ بھی واجب ہے. And the last wajib that I forgot in English, to complete the salah with salam. If you someone completes the salah with salam, then he has fulfilled the wajib. آخری واجب جو میں عرض کرنا چاہتا ہوں کہ نماز کو ختم کرنا سلام کے ذریعے سے, یہ بھی واجب ہے. تو یہ واجبات کے بیان ہیں. اب تو اگر کسی کا واجب چھوٹ گیا ہے یا کئی واجب چھوٹ گئے تو پھر کیا کرنا. If someone's missed out a wajib, then what does he need to do? He needs to carry out sajdatu sahwa. And how do you perform sajdatu sahwa? In the last rakat, in the last sitting, recite tashahud, attahiyyatu lillahi, wassalawatu wattayyibat, all the way till ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Then make one salam to the right, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Perform two sajdas, subhana rabbiyal a'la, allahu akbar, subhana rabbiyal a'la, and then sit back in the last sitting, and then recite tashahhud, durood ibrahim, dua after durood, and then perform two salams. To ye sajdat sahwa ka tareeqa hai ke akhiri baithak mein تشہد پڑھو, پھر ایک سلام کرو دائیں جانب, پھر دو سجدہ, پھر لوٹ آؤ اخیری بیتک میں, تشہد پڑھو, درود ابراہیم پڑھو, درود اللہم انی ظلمت پڑھو, پھر دو سلام کرو. This is the masala. This is sajda to sahwa. How many ever wajibs you miss, one sajda to sahwa covers up for all of it. What if someone forgets to do the sajda to sahwa? He's made a mistake and he forgets to do the sajda-i sahwa. And he's completed the salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And he's completed the salah, but he didn't do sajda-i sahwa. Then the fuqaha have mentioned that if he has not done anything that is a breaker of salah, that would break the salah. For example, he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And he was just sitting like this. And he didn't talk to anyone. His chest didn't move away from the Qibla. And then he remembers that I need to do sajda-i sahwa. He can still do it. So again, do assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allahu akbar, subhanahu. And you'll be back in salah again. That's if you have not done something that goes against the salah. If you have said two salams and you turned around, your chest moved, or you started talking to that person, then you'll need to repeat the salah again. So once again, if you have not done, agar aapne koi kaam nahi kiya jo namaz ke munafi hai, tab bhi namaz ke khatam hone ke baad aap sajde sahwa kar sakte hain. Lekin agar aapne koi kaam aisa kiya jo namaz ke munafi hai, yani aapne baat cheat ki ya aapne apne seene ko hataya qible ki taraf, qible se aapne hataya, to phir us waqt آپ کے سجدے سہوا کا موقع ختم ہو گیا اور اس نماز کو دوبارہ دہرانا پڑے گا. This is all the rulings with regards to wajib, or as many rulings as I could think of with regards to the wajibat of sada. This is wajibat of sada. This is sajdé sahwa. The imam, if he makes a mistake, it's up to the responsibility of the imam to do sajdé sahwa. Sometimes the imam forgets which rakats he is in, and he says Allahu Akbar, and he stands up, and everyone should say Subhanallah. Whenever the imam makes a mistake, don't say Allahu Akbar, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah is an indication to the imam that you have made a mistake, and it's a very beautiful meaning. Subhanallah means that Allah is free from all faults, but the imam is not free from all faults. That's why he made a fault. That's why he made a mistake. So we're reminding the imam that the imam, Allah is free from all faults, but right now you've made a mistake, so sit down. Now if you say Allahu Akbar, you're saying Allah is great. So imam thinks that even I'm great as well, so I probably didn't make a mistake. So that's why I say Subhanallah, that you've made a mistake, so now sit back down. So we must say Subhanallah. If the imam stood up and the imam thinks that I haven't made such a mistake where I was up for three Subhanallahs, then it's up to the imam. So after the imam finished, no one needs to question him that sajde sahwa to kiya hi nahi, that really you even do sajde sahwa, because it's the responsibility of the imam. If he feels that I made the mistake and I was up and I stood up for too long, or I sat down for too long, then it's up to the imam, up to the discretion of the imam, whether he thinks he needs to do sajda sahwa or not. Al-imamu dhaminun. The imam is responsible. He is responsible for our salah. And this is all as much as I could think of with regards to the wajibat of salah. Other small masail with regards to salah is that everything that you read clearly. A lot of people, when they go into ruku, then they read Subhanal Biladim, Subhanal Biladim, Subhanal Biladim, Subhanal Biladim. That's not tasbih. Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. 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 Don't read like that. Read slowly. Again, all these things will add 1-2 minutes to your salah. Everything will just add 1-2 minutes. Your salah won't be that long. So read everything properly. Subhan At-Tahiyyatu Allahumma Salli Ala Muhammad. All these things with regards to salah. This is the wajibat of salah. The next thing we're going to talk about, if anyone's got any questions, just feel free to ask. It's not like a formal dars. If a person makes a mistake in recitation, then depending on the mistake that he's made in the recitation, then he can make it up with sajdatu sahwa. But if a person has read three short verses, he's read the three short verses correctly. Understand? وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا. He's read three verses correctly. Now what's next? فَأَثَرْنَا And he doesn't know what to do. Go into ruku straight away. Because whatever was wajib, you have completed. So now go into ruku. If after that you make a mistake, you don't need to do sajda sahwa, because now you have omitted a sunnah out. To read more than three verses will be sunnah. If you have read three short verses and your wajib amount is finished, then finish. Some people are very zealous in taking out the imam's mistake. After three verses, if the imam makes a mistake, it's up to the imam to go into ruku. It's up to the imam to go into ruku, because he's done the wajib amount, now it's up to him to go into ruku.
MashaAllah. But what if it's changed the meaning of the whole?
Yeah. I'll come on to that in the breakers of salah.
The guys going up, come to down, say Subhanallah. What about guys that's supposed to go?
Both. Whenever a mistake is made, always Subhanallah. If he's gone up, if he's sat down, all mistakes, the muqtadi, the follower should always say Subhanallah.
Fajr salah, last two rakat in Surah Fatiha after midday is the last two rakat or no need.
Ji, to akhi.
When anybody surah milay, any surah this.
So in the last two rakats of a four rakat surah.
Four rakat salah. Ji, akhi. Two rakat to surah Fatiha only surah Fatiha last two.
Ji, so in the last two rakats of. In the last two rakats of a Fard Salah, so in Zohar, Asr, Isha, in the last two rakats, it's only Surah Fatiha. If someone did add another surah, he must do Sajdah Sahwa. Why? Because Sajdah Sahwa is necessary when you delay a wajib. When you miss out a wajib, or when you repeat a wajib, or when you delay a Fard. So the Ruku, you're supposed to, after Surah Fatiha, you're supposed to go into Ruku, but you delayed going into ruku. Does everyone follow that? You delayed going into ruku, so now do sajdah sahwa. If you miss out a fard, the salah is broken. If you repeat a fard, for example, you did two rukus, then do sajdah sahwa again. If you did three sajdas, then do sajdah sahwa, because you've delayed some other wajib that's going to occur. The next thing is the breakers of salah. What breaks the salah completely? MashaAllah. So in the last two rakats of a Fard Salah, to read Surah Fatiha is Sunnah. In the last two rakats of a Fard Salah, to read Surah Fatiha is Sunnah. But it's Sunnah does not mean we need to leave it out. Because as a result of leaving out Sunnahs consecutively or perpetually, then this results in sins. But if you are short for time, for example, the Asr Salah finishes at 9:37. Remember, the Asr Salah does not finish 9:42. Asr Salah finishes at 9:37. Asr Salah finishes at sunset time. You started Salah at 9:33. Four rakats, four minutes, you have to make it in. So in the last two rakats, if you're short for time, then just stand up in the third rakat and stand for the duration of three subhanallahs, then go into ruku. And do the same in fourth rakat, so you don't miss the salah. You rather miss out a sunnah than miss out a fard. Because if you go past 9:37, your whole fard could be gone. That's for every salah. Obviously, in Asr, it got a bit more explanation, but we'll come to that in another time.
What if wasasa kicks in and a person doesn't remember if he's done the wajib or not, but he's fairly sure he has? Will he do sajdah sahwa?
Okay. This masala, it can expand a lot, this masala, with regards to doubts in salah. Doubts in salah. So number one is doubts with regard to the amount of rakat. This is the one that a lot of us get confused on. Was it three, was it four, was it one, was it two? So if it's the first time it's ever happened in your life, which maybe for some it is the first time, but majority of us it's not the first time it's happened in our life. It happens nearly every salah. But anyway, for if it's the first time it's happened in your salah, then the ruling is repeat the salah straight away. If it's the first time it's happened in your life, repeat the salah straight away. But if it happens frequently to you, then you must ask yourself that where is ghalabatul dhan? Mere ghalib guman, where is the overpowering opinion on? Do I feel, is my strong inclination that I have read three? And the weaker inclination is I've read two. If you're almost sure that no, I have read three, then go for that opinion of whatever your strong inclination is. But if it's 50-50, you're completely clueless. Is it two or is it three? You have no idea. Why? Because you don't even remember what surahs you read in the first two rakats. You're completely clueless. Then always take the lower rakat. If you're confused between two and three, take the two rakats and after every sajda, sit. Two and three. So you are in sajda. Subhana rabbiyal a'la, subhana rabbiyal a'la, subhana rabbiyal a'la. Now you're thinking, is it two rakats? Is it three rakats? Is it two rakats? Is it three rakats? Say it's two and sit down. And say At-Tahiyyatu. Then stand up for the third one. After the third one, sit and do Tashahud again. And then in the last sitting, do Sajdah Sahwa. So always take the lower number. After every Sajdah, sit down and do sajdah sahwa. Urdu hazrat ke liye agar koi shak paida hota hai namaz mein to kya karna hai, hamesha wo chota number le lo, yani choti rakat jo agar teen aur char mein confusion ho gaya, shak ho gaya, to teen le lo aur har sajde ke baad baith jao, tashahhud paro, tashahhud parne ke baad phir wo choti rakat ya teesri rakat ya dusri rakat ke liye utho aur phir akhiri rakat mein sajde sahwa karke khatam apni namaz khatam kar lo. Is tarike se aapki namaz ada ho jayegi. Jee, sajda sahwa ke baad tashahhud shuru hi se parna hai. After you have completed sajda sahwa and you come back into the last sitting, you must start from tashahhud again. At-tahiyyatu all the way to Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. The breakers of salah, what breaks the salah straight away? So we'll start with that question, qira'ah. If you make such a mistake in qira'at that the whole translation or the whole meaning changes, then it breaks straight away. For example, in Surah Bayyina, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ, and you're supposed to say فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ, and you say إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي جَنَّةٍ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, that breaks the salah straight away. Because it's such a big mistake that verily those who have disbelief and those who have committed shirk, they will be in Jahannam. And you said they will be in Jannah. So that breaks the salah straight away. Why? Because it's such a big error that you've changed the whole meaning of the surah, of the meaning. Now what do, the ones who don't understand the meaning of whatever we are reading? The most precautious option is that read those things that you are 100% sure on. That I know this surah very well, so I am going to read it. So read those surahs. If you do read a surah and you made a mistake, then inshallah do sajdah sahwa, and inshallah through the sajdah sahwa, we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your salah will be okay. Otherwise, but be very careful when it comes to qira'at that we don't make major errors. That's why correct those surahs that you're always reading in salah, get them corrected. Uski tasheeh kar lo, sahih kar lo, jo namaz hai, jo surat hai, hum bar bar padhte hain namaz mein, usko achhi tarah uski tasheeh kar lo, uski adaiyegi mein aap kisi ke paas jao, baitho aur phir usko theek kar lo taaki aapki namaz mahfooz rahegi. Yeah, this is one thing. The second thing, which is amal-e kathir, and this leads on to my second discussion about the mobile phones in salah. I put it on the group that what topics we'll be discussing, mobile phones. This comes under amal-e kathir, excessive movement. And the ruling for excessive movement is that if I am reading salah, and the third person, jo namaz ke bahir hai, if he looks at me, and if he sees and deems and thinks that, is he reading salah or is he not reading salah? He doesn't know whether I'm reading salah. Agar koi bahir hai aur wo mujhe dekh kar unke zehen mein ye tashweesh, ye shak aa jaye ki ye shakhs namaz par raha hai ya nahi par raha hai. This is regarded as amal kathir. This will break your salah. And this usually happens when a person leaves two of his hands off. Wherever, whatever posture you are in, and two of your hands are not where they are supposed to be, this usually results in the third person thinking that, is he reading salah or is he not reading salah? So hence, whatever you do, for example, you shouldn't move a lot in salah. As I said, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, stand in front of Allah in a very still manner. But if you do need to move, for example, some people do this with the topi a lot. You shouldn't do that there. But if you have to do that, if you have to itch somewhere, if you're about to sneeze, if you're about to cough, do it with one hand. Because if I am in salah and I'm about to sneeze, it still looks like I'm in salah. But if I'm about to sneeze and I do this, the onlooker will immediately think that, is he in salah or is he not in salah? So whatever you're about to do, don't do anything. But if you need to do something, then only use one hand. And this brings me on to the mobile phone. This is very important. Listen to this, please. Number one, when we enter the masjid, please try to ensure our mobile phones are on silent or switched off. Don't even leave it on vibration, because the person next to you, if it rings, he can feel the effects of the vibration. Number two, our ringtone. Please ensure our ringtone is not a musical instrument or a musical ringtone. Because to have to listen to music anyway is not allowed in Islam, is impermissible in Islam. Now, a person who comes in the masjid and doesn't switch his phone off, he has a musical ringtone. Let me just explain to you the severity of it. Because some people think it's a very light manner. Some people get more angry at the children who are running around in the masjid than the person whose phone's going off. The children that are running around the masjid, people get more angry at them, but the person whose phone is blasting musical tones, no one really gets angry at him. Why? Because it's become so norm. It's become such a norm for people's ringtones to go off. So listen to this very carefully. Number one, a person starts salah and his phone starts to ring. How many evils are in this? Number one, if it's a musical instrument, then number one, the first evil is that he's playing music. The second evil, he's playing music in the masjid. There are certain sins that are times two, depending on the place and depending on the time. For example, if I commit a sin, if I commit an evil in Ashton, the sin will be one. But if I commit that same sin in Makkah, in the Haram, it's times by many fold. If I commit a sin in Dhul Hijjah, in these days, it's one. But if I commit a sin in Ramadan, it's much more. Similarly, if a person plays music outside the masjid, he will get sin, no doubt about it. But if he enters the masjid and that music is going on, it's double. So a person whose phone goes off in salah, number one, he's playing music. Number two, he's doing it in the masjid. Number three, he's making others listen to music. That's the third sin. Number four, he's causing others inconvenience. Why? Because a person's trying to perform salah and music goes off. And I get very agitated at that day. And then maybe other people that get agitated or are very hurt about this thing. So you're causing someone pain. Fourth sin. Number five, you're disturbing somebody's salah, his connection with Allah. Fifth sin, you're making him carry out. So in one action, and all this results in so many sins. So this is why accidents do happen. It could happen to me in the next salah. I'm not saying it doesn't happen to me. It could happen to anybody. But if it does happen and you're reading salah, don't let it buzz. Don't let it ring for that long. With one hand, close it and come back. That's very important. And reading back to excessive movement, don't do this. If a person does two hands, then the onlooker, when he sees him, what does he look like? He doesn't look like he's performing salah. So this is what you call amale kathir, that excessive movement. When you do something that is too much, then this is regarded as amale kathir, and you can break the salah, nullify the salah straight away. And this another thing is that fidgeting a lot. Some people have said that amale kathir is when you do something more than three times. Once, and then you move your topi again. You moved it third time. The person who's watching you will still think that he keeps playing around with his topi. Is he in salah? Is he not in salah? So this is why be very still in salah. The third thing that breaks the salah is moving your chest away from the qibla. A person who moves his chest away from the qibla, the salah is broken. Another thing that breaks salah is that anything that breaks wudu breaks salah. Anything that breaks wudu breaks salah. A small mas'ala here. Some people have constant doubts with regards to stomach problems. Some people feel that my wudu is broken due to my gas, etc. Now, if a person has an actual problem where this actually does happen, then every time this happens, the salah will break because it's based on an actual problem. But if it's just doubts that is my wudu broken, is not broken, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised for those people who just get shak, who just get doubts without any evidence, without any basis. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that continue with your salah. Because it's shaitan shaitan prompting you to break your salah again and again and again. So a person who doesn't have any problems, he doesn't have an irritable bowel syndrome, he doesn't have any problems, but it's just, he always gets that doubt that is my salah broken, is my salah not broken, is my salah broken? Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that carry on with your salah, carry on with your salah. Shaitan is just trying to play with you. So this is with regards to the big things with regards to the breakers of salah. If anyone have any questions? पकड़ने के।
तो क्या ये सही है बात ना आपकी, जो दिमाग में है उनका तो ध्यान पे लाइट पड़ रही है।
This question that was asked is exactly what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that إِذَا أَتَى أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسَاجِدِ, when one of you come to the masajid, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوَقَارِ, then سُكُون کے ساتھ, وَقَار کے ساتھ مسجد میں آجا. Enter the masjid with a lot of contentment, with a lot of itminan, with a lot of dignity. Enter the masjid with dignity. Now, two questions arise. A person who runs to the ruku, is that a dignified manner of entering the masjid? No. You have to remember, whose house are you in? You're in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were to enter your guest's house like that, the guest would probably show you the other door. That, if you're going to enter, if you're going to behave like that, then just leave. So, similarly, we should enter the masjid with waqar and sakina. Alaykum bis sakinati wal waqar. How much ever salah you miss, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how much ever you miss, make up for it. How much ever rakats you miss, make up for it. But don't run. It disturbs a lot of people. And this is not allowed in Islam. The next thing, inshallah, which we have time, 4 or 5 minutes, we'll try to wrap it up. I'll try to explain it again tomorrow, is that about the sutra. I asked the ulama that, is there anything else I should add on to the topics? So my mama, Mona Sayyid Ahmad Diwan, he mentioned that, talk about the sutra. The sutra. What does sutra mean? Sutra means a barrier. Whenever a person is reading salah, it is impermissible for you to go across the person. For you to go across the person whilst reading salah is impermissible. Kisi shakhs ko paar karna, kisi musalli ko paar karna, ye najayiz hai. Remember, this is a very important issue. Because I said that from one end, he starts from one end and he walks past the person. This is not allowed in Islam. This is not allowed. If a person is standing in front of someone, for example, right now I'm standing in front of Abbas Bhai, and I've finished my salah, and Abbas Bhai is still reading salah. Now, if I turn around and go like that, there, I've not gone across him, because I'm just right in front of him, and I've gone to the side of him, I've gone to the one side. But I was reading salah here, and Abbas Bhai is reading salah there, and I walked right past him. This is not allowed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if you knew, and what is the hidden sentence? If you knew the severity, how big of a sin this is, you would wait 40. You would wait for 40. And the one opinion is that you would wait for 40 years. Meaning if Abbas Bhai was to read salah for 40 years, his salah was that long. If I knew how big a sin this was, I would never cross Abbas Bhai. I would never go past Abbas Bhai, even if I had to wait 40 years for him to read salah. I would just wait here for 40 years. I say even if it was 40 minutes, if the hadith meant 40 minutes, it's still telling us a big lesson that don't cross someone. Where does this happen? A lot. Or bahut gaur se suno, ye is masjid mein bahut hota hai, is when people miss rakats. یعنی ہم سب نے نماز کو وقت پر پایا لیکن ہمارے پیچھے ایسے لوگ ہیں جن کی رکعتیں چھوٹ گئی ہیں تو وہ کھڑے ہو گئے نماز کے لیے. Now we feel, so some people have missed salah and they've stood up for the salah in the front row and we've finished our salah on time. Now what do we all want to do? We all want to find a different place to read sunnah. And the first place we look is behind us. So we turn around and all these people are making up their salah. So what you do, if everyone's making up their salah, you're not allowed to pass one of them. Just turn around and start your sunnahs in the place that you read. But don't go past them. You'll see the majority of people walking past those people who have come late for salah. Don't do this. Just remember this hadith, that if you knew how massive this sin was, you would wait for 40 years before you go past them. When can you go past someone? This is what you call sutra, when there is a barrier. And the fuqaha of Ahnaf have mentioned that how big should this barrier be? It should be the width of one usbu', of one finger, the size of one finger. That's how thick, the width of it. And how long should it be? It should be approximately 46 centimeters. 46 centimeters. Darul Azad will have mentioned 45.72 centimeters. Let's just round it up. 46 centimeters. That's how high the barrier needs to be. If that happens, then you can go past someone. So for example, if this is 45, and it's probably about, it is quite high. So if Abbas Bhai is reading, I'll have to place this in front of Abbas Bhai. I have to place it in front of him, and then I can cross him. Because it is thicker than my one finger, I put it past him, and then I can go past him. I can go past him. G. The second thing, some people, when they want someone to go past, some people just do this. They just put a hand in front. Just putting your hand in front and not standing it up, this is not sufficient. Some people just do this and they tell everyone to go past. Because this is not 45 centimeters. If you do this, and now this is a sutra. Why? Because the thickness is more than one finger and it's now more than 45 centimeters. If you do this, inshallah, this will also, if you quite slightly bend your hand, this. But simply placing your hand in front and telling people to go past, this doesn't qualify as a barrier. Everyone understand? This is the regards to sutra. Very important ruling. Please don't make this mistake. Same thing, you shouldn't pass that person. The only time you are purposely allowed to pass a person if the person is reading Salah in the wrong spot. For example, he decided to read Salah right by the main entrance and he's blocking everyone from going past. Then it's his fault. He started Salah in the wrong place and he's causing everyone confusion because no one can leave the masjid then. So, and no one could find a sutra. If you can find a sutra, put a sutra and then go past. But if someone purposely read salah in the wrong spot, then you can go past. And the only time this ruling changes is when there is a masjid kabir. If the masjid is regarded as kabir, large masjid, then you can go past a person without any sutra. Inshallah, tomorrow I'll find out more rulings about what is a masjid kabir and does this masjid qualify a masjid al-kabir? I'll ask Mufti Mudhakkir, as I'm not the imam of this masjid. I'll ask Mufti Mudhakkir, is this a masjid al-kabir? Is it not a masjid al-kabir, etc.? And then we'll discuss the rulings with regards. But sutra is very important. What is uswaqt hai jab masjid al-kabir hai? Wo bari masjid hai. Ke teen musalle ko tajawuz karke aap aage ja sakte hain jab wo masjid bari masjid kehlane jane ke qabil hai. Bari masjid kisko kehte hain? Inshallah wo kal hum बात इसको डिस्कस करेंगे
जा अल्लाहु अकबर अल्लाहु अकबर अल्लाहु अकबर أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. La ilaha